Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman again with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and back with you again, and thank you for joining us, and I hope that you'll be blessed today, and that God the Holy Ghost would bless your heart with the Word of God. Today, we're going to go right on into the assurance of salvation, the letter A, and what we have been studying, just to recap just a little bit, is that we've been working on the three tenses of salvation, which I pray that you've already got an understanding about it, the first and second and third tense of salvation, and how the Lord, through His sacrificial death, burial, and resurrection, and His ascension back to the Heavenly Father, according to the Word of God, has taken care of every aspect of salvation having to do with our salvation, whether it be being saved from hell, from being saved from out from under the wrath of God Almighty and His judgment against sin, or whether it be being saved from lying during the day, or we need salvation from the sin that's still in us, from the evil that Jesus said, ye being evil are able to do good things. Remember, the Lord Jesus just told the truth. He wasn't trying to put those guys down. He was just making a comment, trying to teach a truth. He said, if ye being evil. So we still have part of us that is evil. It's that flesh you're carrying around on you. So whether it be saved from hell or saved from the trying to live a godly and an upright life every day, or whether it be the Lord Himself coming to take us out of here from the very presence of sin, your salvation is something that can go on being defined throughout all eternity of what Jesus and the Godhead has done for you. And the longer you live as a Christian, and the more that you begin to understand the Word of God and learn the Word of God, which you should do on purpose, that is your duty to your Lord, is to know His Word now. But the more you find out about the Word of God, the more you find out what God has done for you and what this salvation thing is. But all these cults and these liars out there that are trying to teach, for whatever reason they're teaching, for praise, for pomp, for money, for reputation, whatever acknowledgement, whatever it might be that they're teaching these lies for, and trying to bring people back under the yoke of bondage, the Lord, through this thing of salvation, has freed us. Not freed us so that we can sin, freed us so that we don't have to sin anymore. We, through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and the indwelling God the Holy Ghost dwelling in us, now have the power that we don't have to sin. And if we do sin, John said, then we confess it to the Lord and move on. That's what we do. But all these liars out there that are teaching these things about that you have to be baptized to be saved, you have to do this to be saved, do that to be saved, run around the block three times and ride a jackass backwards around the Empire State Building 14 times, and all this crazy mess that they're coming up with is not scriptural. It's not in there. Everything having to do with your relationship between you and the Lord is going to be based on that book. It's going to be based on that book. If it's not in that book, then it's not. If it's in that book, then you better pay attention and you better take heed according to the scriptures. Now, getting into the assurance of our salvation, let's just move right on into it. And I pray that you have already been baptized. And if you haven't, you need to consider that. If you was saved during the first tape of this session here that we're doing on the assurance of salvation, or have already been born again from before, if you have been born again, then you are ordered. It's an ordinance. an order by your Lord that you be baptized, and not having to do with anything to do with your salvation, but to show publicly that, what saved you, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, your name is written in heaven. Now, what is your duty now? Your duty is to learn the Word of God and to walk as children of light, like the Bible says. And we're going to talk about the assurance of salvation. The Bible said, remember our scriptures in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The Bible says, by two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, our salvation. Now, Satan, the enemy, we talked about him, and he's going to try to do everything that he possibly can to try to make you doubt your salvation, or to make you think that you have not been born again, or that God is not keeping his word with you somehow. But remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said about him. And if Jesus says something about something, we can stake our lives on it and stake our eternity on it. That's what we're doing, is staking our souls on what Jesus has said in his word. Now, you're clean through the words which I have spoken to you. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. It's the words. The words of God. The Bible says, remember what the Lord said in the scriptures concerning the enemy. It says, because there is what? There is no truth in him. You can't let him talk you into think that he is somehow picked you out of all humanity to tell a little bit of truth to. Anytime the devil tries to speak to you, or devils try to speak to you, or unclean spirits try to speak to you, they're going to lie to you. They're liars. And it says in the same verse, Jesus said, for he is a liar. He's a liar. So you can't believe anything that he says or anything that he suggests concerning your salvation. He even tried to tempt the Son of God. That's some pretty good arrogance there, isn't it? That you would try to tempt the very Son of God. You'd try to tempt him and try to make him sin. Let's move on into this. What is meant by assurance? Well, the word assurance or by assurance of salvation, what we mean is the intellectual and spiritual certainty that you belong to God and that you possess right now eternal salvation. Now, the Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What's meant by the assurance of salvation? Well, according to that verse right there, Jesus said that it's eternal life, that you are assured. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And he said that I give unto them eternal life. Now, if you belong to Jesus, you have been given eternal life, or either Jesus Christ a liar. And we know better than that. Our Lord's not a liar. He doesn't ever lie. He doesn't lie about nothing. He doesn't have to lie. He's God. He's the one that created all this. He's the one that's narrating it all. We're the ones that have to watch out for lying. Two of us get together and talk. That's why the Lord said study to be quiet, because two of us get together and we talk more in about 5 minutes. One of us going to lie, whether we mean it or not. You see, God don't never lie. The Bible says, now what's meant by the assurance of salvation? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, and I'll give you these verses toward the end of our session today, but in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. In other words, when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, Paul said that I know and I am persuaded that whenever I get to the day to where I'm going to see whether God keeps his word with me, I know and I am persuaded that God is able to keep that which I have committed to him. The trust that I put and the faith that I put in the Lord, I know he's going to keep his word with me. And what's the two words in that verse right there, the key words in that verse that help us to understand what assurance means? Well, listen to it again. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now, Paul, the probably the best Christian that ever respectfully to all the rest of them, but for the Gentiles that lived, he said that he knows and that he is persuaded. Now, if he knows and he's persuaded and he wrote the Word of God down through the inspiration of God the Holy Ghost and given it to us in written form so that we could have it, then don't you suppose that he is encouraging us to know and be persuaded also? Yes, of course he is. Of course he is. That's what's meant by the assurance is something that you know, something that you're persuaded of. All right, in 1 John chapter 5:13, the Bible says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God," talking to specific people, "that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." So according to 1 John chapter 5:13, on the basis of that verse of Scripture that we just read there, would you say that God wants you to have assurance of your salvation? Well, of course he does. Listen to it again. "These things have I written unto you." How come? "That believe on the name of the Son of God." Why did he write them unto us? "These things I've written unto you, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." Man, take that with a big black sharpie and inch wide sharpie and write that on your kitchen wall or something. "That ye may know that ye have eternal life. That ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." That's assurance, man. And the Bible's encouraging us to be assured that you've been born again. Don't let anybody talk you out of your salvation. If you have obeyed the Word of God and believed on Jesus Christ and repented and asked the Lord to be your Savior and put your belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are born again. And you don't have to be born again. And again, and again, and again, and again. You don't have to ask for salvation again. As a matter of fact, in the Scriptures, in Hebrews, the Bible says if you try to get saved again, you're trying to put Jesus back up on the cross and make a public shame out of him because the first time wasn't good enough. So we need to be careful not to mock the Lord also. So what is meant by assurance? To know and to be persuaded. And also, on the basis of that Scripture, we would say that God wants us to know and to have the assurance of salvation, right? Yes, right. So what word in that verse that we just got through reading in 1 John 5:13 indicates that God wants us to have assurance? "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may," say it with me, "know." That's right. "That ye have eternal life." So if you've trusted in Jesus Christ and when you die and you stand before the Lord and he says, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" And you say, "Because I trusted in Jesus Christ and because your word said that was written down that I read, if I believed on the name of the Son of God, that I can know that I have eternal life and that I might believe on the name of the Son of God." Then God says, well, God says that's what God's going to say is that's exactly right. enter thou into the joy of the Lord. That's what he's going to say. But if he said anything different than that, said, well, and I meant to be baptized too. Well, then God be a liar, because that ain't what his word says, right? Because his word don't say that. You see, we have to know what God says, not what people says he says, not what people assume he says. We have to know. It's our responsibility to know what God says. And that's what he said right there. Right? Right. Okay. So what's meant by the assurance of salvation? To know and be persuaded and to understand that God wants us to be assured of our salvation. He'd be a cruel God to save you and then make you walk around doubting your salvation and trick you and play games with you. God don't play hit games like that. A lot of people play hit games and trickery and for all kinds of different money, and all these idiots out there, they're called calling themselves prophets and calling themselves helping people and doing things for the people and doing things for the sheep. All they're doing is leading a giant flock astray and the blind leading the blind. And they're both going to fall in the ditch. It's your responsibility not to follow false teachers. And how do you tell if it's a false teacher? And does it line up with the book? Does it line up with that book? And when I say book, I'm talking about the King James Bible. Okay? All right. But hey, let's talk about this. Why do I need assurance of salvation? Well, there's lots of reasons why we need assurance of salvation. In this world that we live in now, there's so much deceit and so much doubt and so much confusion everywhere you go. You can't tell what's what and you can't be sure of anything. Somebody makes you an offer for some insurance, or makes you an offer for a car, or makes you an offer for a business deal or something like that. You turn around and give it 5 minutes to think about it and turn back around and it's changed. There's no assurance of anything. And that's the way the world is now. You can't trust just about in anything except for the Lord and the truth. Why do we need assurance of salvation? Well, we need assurance of salvation according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. It says, and these things write we unto you. Notice how the writer, how the authors of these books, how they're always mentioning that they have written something to us. So don't let anybody ever talk to you and to try to tell you that God didn't put his words, his inspired words, down in written form for us to read, and that they are just as powerful and just as alive and just as inspired as God intended them to be, the real written word of God. Yes, he did. But listen to this. 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, why do I need assurance of salvation? And these things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. It's God's will for you to have joy. And that's something that is missing in the world today. And people are running to and fro and going to different jobs. Well, if this job don't give me the joy I'm looking for, then I go to a different job. Well, if this doesn't do this, I move into another house. Well, if this doesn't, I'll buy another car. Well, this blobbity, blobbity, blabbity, blab, blab, blab. And no joy. The Bible says that you need assurance of salvation, that you might have the real joy that comes from knowing the Lord and knowing that he has saved you from your sin and from your condemnation and from the wrath of God, and saving you daily when you get up out of bed and start walking around in this evil world and start doing what you got to do daily. He's saving you from that and watching out for you there. And then one day he's going to come and get you, and you got a hope after you die. Man, that's joy. That's joy. 1 John chapter 1 says, these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Why do I need assurance of salvation? Because it brings joy. Secondly, we need assurance of salvation because assurance of salvation brings us something else. 1 John chapter 3, verse 19 through 21. I'm going to read it to you, and you pick out what the assurance of salvation there is, why we need it. It says, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater in our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God." Okay, so assurance. Why do we need assurance of salvation? If your heart doesn't condemn you and you know that your relationship between you and God is, assurance brings what? It brings confidence before God. Every time you hear the name of God, you ain't got to duck and walk away and hide your face and go out behind the tree in the garden and hide like Adam and Eve did. You ain't got to hide from God no more. It brings you confidence before the Lord. Why do you need assurance of salvation? Because it brings joy. It brings confidence before God, the Bible says. All right, another why do we need assurance of salvation? It's found in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2. The Bible says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches and full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. The Bible says assurance brings us what? It brings us comfort. Brings us comfort of heart. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. What's another thing? Why do we need assurance of salvation? I don't know about you, but I don't even... One thing that I've always appreciated about my salvation is the comfort of heart that it gives me. When all hope runs out and when there ain't nobody and all men forsake you and seems like you're the only one in the world and you've blown it and everything else is there's nothing to look forward to at all, there's comfort of heart because I can always rely on the Lord being exactly like he was when I met him, and I have assurance that brings me comfort of heart. Why do we need assurance of salvation? I want you to fill in the blank and use your own words on this one. Listen to James chapter 1, verse 8. A double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways. Why do we need assurance of salvation when it comes to that verse right there? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What would assurance of salvation bring according to that verse? It would bring stability, wouldn't it? The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. If you think this side of the fence one day and you think that side of the fence another day, you're going to live your life wishy-washy and seesawing all the time. But when you find the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ saves you and you have assurance of salvation now, and you've been born again and you have the written word of God, you have God's word in writing that you have been born again, then you're not double-minded anymore. And instead of being unstable, you have stability now, right? Makes your life a lot more stable. Of course it does. Why do we need assurance of salvation? Well, because of joy, because of confidence before God. Assurance brings us confidence. Assurance brings us comfort of heart. And assurance brings us stability. I don't know about you, but if you got a brain like I got, you need as much stability as you can get. Let's look at another one. And you didn't have to laugh at that either because, you just didn't have to. All right, letter E. Assurance enables us to what the world? 1 John chapter 5, listen to this. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Of course you do. That's why you got saved, right? Okay, because you believed on Jesus. You believed that he was the Son of God like he said he was. You believed on his word and believed on his name. Yes. Okay, then for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. So assurance enables us to what the world? To overcome the world. We're not prisoner and we're not imprisoned by the world anymore. We've been made free. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he saved us, he delivered us from this present evil world. He has, we're not physically gone yet, but we're not in the world, but we're not of the world anymore. We're not prisoner to the world anymore. We don't have to follow the world and the world's way anymore and the world's thinking and the world's philosophy anymore. We have the liberty to do right and to follow the truth. That's what we have. Isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful. So why do we need the assurance of salvation? Well, assurance enables us to effectively serve the Lord by telling others about Jesus. Have you ever mentioned Jesus Christ because you love him? I mean, I ain't trying to put no burden on you, and I ain't going to do that. But, you know, it is our, you know, I mean, if somebody jumped, if you was in a situation where somebody saved your life and you was indebted to them because you would feel indebted to them even though they told you don't worry about it, you know, I'd have done it for anybody, but they saved your life. You would be somewhat indebted to them, even if it was just to mention them in conversation every now and then to honor them, wouldn't you? Of course you would. And so would I. Okay, well, has there ever been a time that you've just been talking in normal conversation and you couldn't help but just bring Jesus up and what he's done for you? If you know him and he's done anything for you, you have. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 40 and 41, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Whenever Andrew met Jesus, Simon's brother, he couldn't help but run and get his brother and tell him. Look at this one. John chapter 4, verse 28 and 29. Look at the response of this woman. The woman then left her water pot. Remember who she was. She was the Samaritan woman at the well. Remember when Jesus sat down because he was tired of his journey and he asked for a drink of water? And then when he got to talking with her, he told her, you drink of this water and you won't thirst again. And she told him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. And he told her he was the Son of God, and look what happened. Then the woman then left her water pot, what she came there for, and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She couldn't help it. She had to tell about him. In Acts chapter 16, verse 10, the Bible says, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto him. That was Paul. Okay, so assurance enables us to overcome the world, but assurance enables us to effectively serve the Lord by telling about Jesus. I mean, if you know you're going to heaven because you've got written documentation about it from the Lord, and you know your sins have been forgiven, and you know you don't have to serve the world anymore, and you don't have to depend on having a big bank account, you don't have to, as a matter of fact, your Lord tells you not to worry about all that stuff anymore, because I've taken care of everything. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered in the heart of man the things God hath prepared for them that love him. You have a promise, you have surprises, you have a reunion, you have a marriage coming up, a marriage supper coming up, and you get to be with the Lord Jesus Christ under perfect conditions and sinless conditions. You get a new body, new teeth. All your joints ain't going to hurt no more. You're going to get new legs. Your body's going to be like fashioned like unto his glorious body. I mean, doesn't all that bring assurance of salvation? All the promises? Of course it does. And isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful. So let's recap just a little bit. We're going to have to stop. I've been yapping on some other stuff, but I can't help it. Well, so we talked about what is meant by the assurance of salvation. We talked about knowing and being persuaded, remember? And on the basis of Scripture and what God says, does he want us to have assurance of salvation? Absolutely, God wants us to have assurance of salvation. He don't want you walking around doubting your salvation. And he don't want you thinking you have to do anything else, because he give you salvation. It was a gift. You didn't earn it. You didn't pay for it. You didn't. He gave it to you. It's yours. You don't have to worry about it. And then he said, no man can snatch you out of his hand. Okay? And why do I need assurance of salvation? I need assurance of salvation because it brings joy. Assurance of salvation because it brings confidence before God. Assurance of salvation brings comfort of heart. Assurance of God, assurance of salvation makes us stable people. The Lord said He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but He gave us a spirit of, He said that He didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us of a sound mind. I know that ain't all the rest of the verse, and I'll tell you why, because I forgot it. It's right on the end of my tongue, but I can't get that much time. Okay, and that's going to happen during these tapes, so you just tolerate it, okay? And assurance enables us to overcome the world. And assurance enables us to effectively serve the Lord by telling others about Jesus. You know, when you tell somebody about what Jesus has done for you, why would you make up a lie about that? That's just ignorant. That's stupid to even think that. That's not a lie. Anybody that testifies of Jesus glorifies God, the Bible says. Because you're telling the truth. You're telling the truth. So, let me go ahead and give you these verses. So, we've talked about the assurance of salvation, what's meant by it, and why do I need assurance of salvation. The next tape, or the next time we come together, we're going to talk about what's the basis of our assurance of salvation. Okay, so let me give you these verses right quick. Are you ready? All right. The first one is John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. 1 John chapter 3, verse 19 through 21. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 8. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. John chapter 1, verse 40 and 41. John chapter 4, verse 28 and 29. And the last one for today, Acts chapter 16, verse 10. And the following recordings and lessons that we come into, we're going to talk about what is the basis for the assurance of our salvation. We're going to talk about how may I know that I am saved? How may I know that I'm saved? And what brings assurance of salvation into my life? And what happens if I sin? And can I ever lose my salvation? A lot of other things to talk about. That salvation covers quite a bit of area, doesn't it? That's pretty neat. But I'm glad I'm saved, ain't you? And don't you ever be unglad that you're saved. You'll learn some new words on this program, too. So get your pencil out, and I'll give you the definition of that next week. Hey, we're just going to have a good time and just love the Lord and be serious and honor the Lord and honor His Word. And you know what makes everything so special about us talking today and talking all these other times is because we're studying God's Word. We're not assuming anything. We're saying what we're seeing, what saith the Lord. What does God say? You know, after we're done here, you can forget all about Thurman and forget all about these tapes and forget about all that stuff and get in your Bible, and guess what's changed? Nothing. You know why? Because we're talking about the Word of God and what God says, and that's what makes it special. That's what brings assurance. So we'll go ahead and we'll talk some more, and I appreciate you, and I appreciate you wanting to study the Word of God. And God does too, and He'll honor you for that. So the Lord bless you, and bye-bye.